Today's topic is Melecha Slosh, Melecha of Kneading on Shabbos. So we should begin by defining for ourselves what is the Makar, the source of this Melecha. Where do we learn it from? So of course we learn it Yalfina Mimishkan. So what aspect, what exactly does that mean? So if you look here in the Yerushalmi, in the 7th Perek, in the Perek Zayin Halacha Beis, Yerushalmi has a line which is parallel to a sugya in Menachos, which is discussing creating a mincha with chametz, which is obviously a problem, according to the Pasuk. So the Yerushalmi says that if you are lush and orech and mekatef, if you do those three things, so you are in violation of the malacha of Lisha, you're in violation of Shabbos. So lush, I understand, that means mixing the dough. Orech, that's more of a later stage, that's braiding, arranging the dough, and then mekatev is also touching it up. Those are all stages in the preparation of bread, and the Yerushalmi suggests that those are all under the category of the Malach of Lush, and the Yerushalmi compares it to the question of Menachos, whether they should be separate or together. It sounds like, for the Yerushalmi, the source of the Malach of Lisha comes from baking bread. And so, just like in the context of Menachos, when you bake bread, you have these various stages. So too, in Hilchos Shabbos, you have stages in baking bread, and all of those, it happens to be in this case, you're not going to divide them like Zohar, Bor, Meraki, they're going to all be under one Av, but they'll be parallel Avos, at least, one way to look at it is parallel Avos of Lisha. However, Rashi, here in Ayin Gimel Amud Aleph, on the Mishnah, Dibur Maskel HaOfeh, Rashi points out that lo hava b'mishkan, baking didn't exist in the Mishkan. De lo shayach el b'pas. Opas lo shayach el b'melechas ha-mishkan. And you didn't have pas in the melechas ha-mishkan. Now, whether or not the Yerushalmi thinks that ofe is an av or a tolda is for a separate discussion, but for us, Rashi, for the Bavli, says, it's all learned, kulu kamaisa, so that's the makar. So perhaps, says the Eglei Talsik in Lisha, in Meleches Lush, in Sivkat and Vav, that this is Lishitasam, of which aspect of the Mishkan are we learning it from? That according to the Yerushalmi, we're learning the Melachos from Asiyas Menachos, from the functioning of the Mishkan. Not from the building of the Mishkan, from the functioning of the Mishkan. So on a daily basis, they had Menachos that they offered in the Mishkan. So in the preparation of Menachos, you had Blila, you had to mix the dough. So mixing dough is going to be the model for the Malacha of Lush. Whereas according to the Rashi, in this Chakira, I think we mentioned it way back in the Hakdama, we did. It appears in the beginning of the Eglei Tal. This chakir is that age-old opinion that according to Rashi, it's not learned from the functioning of the Mishkan, it's learned from the building of the Mishkan. So in the building of the Mishkan, they didn't actually use dough, they used samamanim. These samamanim evidently created some kind of dough-like substance, some kind of paste. I don't know exactly how it worked, but as we'll see, that's going to be an important component. So number one, it's either going to be learned from dough or from samamanim, but both of those are gedulei karka. So there's actually machlokas achronim, and this is going to be relevant lamaisa when you talk about different mixtures on Shabbos. If you look, Rav Moshe, there in Chelek Dalid, in the section, the little tshuvas of Hilchos Shabbos in Lush, he says... Yeah, I think it's Chelek Dalid, Simen Ayin Dalid, in the section on Lush. So there Rav Moshe says, you learn from the fact that, remember the Gemara quoted about the case on Ayin Dalim at Beis, the guy was Ovid Chalsa on Shabbos, he made some kind of basket. So in the context there, Rashi mentioned that in the case of making a Chavisa, you take the tit, Megabel tit dahainu Lush. So Moshe says, you see, there's Lisha, Shalobi Gidule Karka. But if you look in the Tzitz Eliezer and Chelik Yud Aleph in Simon Lamed Vav, he quotes from Shulba Kluger, Sitz Eliezer, Chelik Yud Aleph, Simen Lamed Vav, Rav Shlomo Kluger, and others of the opinion that Ein Lisha Ela B'Gidulei Karka. If you remember, we had a discussion about this same question in the context of Dosh. Right? The Rambam said there is only a problem of Dosh in Gidulei Karka. It happens to be that the Rambam concluded that animals and people, animals are called Gidulei Karka. The Rambam said extracting blood, Chovel is a problem of Dosh, so people are probably called Gidulei Karka. So you'll have to figure out whether or not eggs are called Gidulei Karka, but fish are probably not called Gidulei Karka. Chicken would then might be Gidulei Karka, but the point is that this is going to play itself out. But both Isa of Karbanos and Samamonim, in the origin, they are Gidulei Karka, so that leads you to question whether or not you have Gidulei Karka anywhere outside of whether you have Lush outside of Gidulei Karka. But in both of those cases, whether you're making Isa or you're making this special paste for the Samamonim, you take two separate substances and you fashion a new substance, one integrated substance based on those two prior substances. It's not simply that you have two items that are stuck together with glue. It's that you have an integrated new entity. Now, I can't tell you that I know this for sure about the Samamonim case, because I don't really understand how the Samamonim work, but that's certainly the case in the Isa model, where you take flour and water and you mix them together, and both the flour and the water lose their prior identity. You can't even see the specks of flour or discern the water. You just see something else called Isa. This distinction between an integrated and 100%, you know, perfectly new, smooth mixture is what we're going to distinguish later between what we call Bar Gibel and Lav Bar Gibel. Right? That Bar Gibel creates this smooth, integrated thing. In the case of Lav Bar Gibel, it's not 100% integrated, but it has to be integrated to some degree. If it's not integrated at all, then it doesn't even rise to the threshold of Lav Bar Gibel. It's not lush. So what are some examples of this? So for example, if you look in the Taz, in Sof Sif Katan Yud Beis, in Shin Chaf Aleph Sif Katan Yud Beis, he talks about Salatin. So the Taz discusses there, what if you make a Salatin, you make a salad, and you stick it together with dressing. So the Taz says, in that case, you don't have to worry about lush because the vegetables are large. So even though the vegetables are now stuck together, the pieces are clearly discernible. You haven't made one new dough or one new substance. You just stuck two items together. And those two items that are stuck together don't create one integrated substance. Therefore, there's no lisha. Lisha is only when you take two substances and create one. Another example, Rav Moshe actually has three ramifications of this in that section in the Tshuvas. Rav Moshe talks about, what if you have honey that coagulated? If you have honey, generally, Rav Moshe points out, based on the Gemara in Psachim, that you can make a dough out of honey, with honey as your liquid. But what happens, he says, if you have honey that was karash, that was one gush, one block of honey, and you take the honey and you stick a bunch of pieces together with that honey.
A bunch of pieces of what?
I don't know. Nuts. You take a bunch of nuts together and you stick them together with the honey.
And you mix it? Or?
You don't really mix it. You just glue it together. You just have a chunk of honey and you stick these nuts on it. So Moshe says that's not called Lisha, because you haven't created one entity. You just stuck a couple of things together with this one piece, as opposed to if you take honey that is liquidy and you fold it into the nuts and you make one paste, so then you would have lisha. Similarly, Rav Moshe says, now if you look in the Orach HaShabbos, he quotes Rav Shlomo Zalman to disagree with this, but Rav Moshe says that if you take shamenet is some kind of cream, and you mix it together with, he spells it, Kuf Aleph Tes Ayin Dalet Zayin, cottage, and then he writes Tes Shin Yud Zayin, cheese. If you mix cottage cheese with this cream, he says that's not a problem of lush. Because you haven't stuck together different items. You just have melded two pre-existing loose isas. Shlomo Zalman disagrees because he says, no, this is a new entity. But Moshe says, no, this isn't really a new entity because you didn't stick two things together and transform them into a new mixture. Another example, Rav Moshe says, and this also appears in the Chazon Ish, in Nun Ches, in Oz Tes, Chazon Ish says, what happens if you have powder that you dissolve into water? If you have powdered lemonade or instant tea, you know, the instant tea that's powdery, or coffee, or iced tea mix. So you take the tea mix and you pour it into a lot of water. So there, you don't have any mixture. You just have water, and into that water you have dissolved the powder. As opposed to, sometimes you do have, let's say you like to make it in the following way. You put your, what's that?
Those are fine. They become one entity. Those are fine or they're not fine?
They're totally fine. Because there's no...
They are a new entity.
What do you mean? It's just water that has a substance that has become dissolved in it. As opposed to saying, it's a new entity. It's not a new entity. It's just water with a dissolved substance, like coffee dissolved into the water. It's not a new Isa. As opposed to, this could be a problem. Sometimes what people will do is they'll put a little bit of, let's say they'll put a line of iced tea powder, and into the iced tea powder they'll put water, and they'll mix that around to get it very pasty, and then into that they'll dump a lot of water. So to make the initial paste, if that's how you're making it, then you would have a mixture, but because that's not dissolved. But if you have just water, and into that you're dissolving the chocolate mix, so then you haven't created a new entity based on these two prior ingredients. You just simply have water with powder that's dissolved into it. Hi.
It sounds intuitively correct. I don't understand the gather. Because I don't have coffee dissolved water. I have coffee. Once I mix that in. What's the difference? Add water and I have powder and now I have coffee. Versus I had water and now I have tea paste.
I'm not sure I understand the question.
What's the
you call it coffee.
New...
Look, you call it coffee, but it's actually just water with a different color and flavor.
As opposed to Kemach and Mayim, which was to now it's Isa, not either.
That's exactly it. So that's a bargibel. Even a lot of bargibel, let's say, for example, let's take tuna salad, for example. If you make tuna, you had mayonnaise and you had tuna fish, and now you have tuna salad. You don't have tuna pieces that are stuck together. That would be if you took, I don't know, an apple and you covered it in caramel and covered that with chocolate.
That's why I didn't fully understand Ramosha's example of like a nutty honey paste. It's kind of hard to say that's like really one type of this.
In a case where it's liquidy?
You could say it's like tuna.
In the case where it's liquidy?
How liquidy?
It is. It becomes, that's almost reminds me of a granola bar. You have a liquid medium, the honey.
Even though it's like Nika, I don't
know. Okay. So evidently they have to be small enough to create that one new entity. Another example of this would be in the case where you put water in on Erev Shabbos into your flour. You put water into your flour, or you put mayonnaise into your coleslaw on Erev Shabbos. And it's more than just, the Trumas Hadeshen in Siman Nun Gimel points out, it's not enough just to put a couple of teep in, that's not enough. You have to put a real substantive amount of water, but you put in the water on Erev Shabbos. So now, when you add more water, or you add more mayonnaise, you add more liquid, you could say two things. Number one, you could say that's not really mixing, that's actually diluting. But even if the thing that you're putting it on now isn't actually diluting it, there is this phrase, we saw it once before, Aruch HaShulchan mentions it, Ein Lisha Achar Lisha. Why not? Why is there no Lisha Achar Lisha? Because if you have your coleslaw that has the tiny shredded cabbage and the mayonnaise already in it, so you're adding more mayonnaise isn't creating a new entity. It's already cabbage, with mayonnaise that's now called coleslaw. Happens to be you're adding more mayonnaise to make it more mayonnaise-y, but it's already coleslaw. And that's why, you know, in that sugya about the chardal shalosho, the Gemara and Daf Kuf Mem, those who are machmer for Rebbe that we'll talk about, they say, oh, if you mix the water in yesterday, you put the mime into the chardal yesterday, you could do it more today. Why? Because once we mixed it already yesterday, so then it's already created this mixture, and therefore there's no lisha after lisha. Now, we'll talk about Rebbe in a little bit more, but so far that's point number one. Or point number two. Point number one was the makar of the malacha. Point number two is the fact that you have to create one substance out of two. So there, that's a great example. You take dvash and mix it with sumsum and you make one new thing. You made a granola bar. You made a sesame bar.
So why Moshe said it's okay to make a mix of cottage and shemen?
Because those are two pre-existing isas. It's not that you took one item and connected it to another item and made a third new item. In those cases, you already have an isa. You have an isa of strawberries and you have an isa of yogurt and you just put the two of them together, but it's not dibuk chalakim. It's not that you've taken two substances and created one new one. You just have two mixtures, two loose mixtures that are now happen to be mixed together. But Rav Shlomo Zalman disagrees with that, and he says, no, even though they're not chalakim, but they're still two different mixtures, and that's why he says that it's not okay. Dough and chocolate? Probably not. Meaning you have... Unless in that case the dough is actually the glue that's holding the chocolate together. I guess you have to figure out the metzias of what the chocolate looks like. Rav Shlomo Zalman would say it's totally not acceptable. But according to Rav Moshe, maybe depending on what the form of the chocolate is, if it's nizdabik through the dough. It could be a belila ava, could be more problematic. The other issue here that we need to remind ourselves of is that this whole malacha is a malacha of lush and not just tikkun ochel ba'alma. We pointed out when we discussed some of the earlier sugyas that if something is called tikkun ochel, that's not a malacha. Right? That might be, said the Bir Halacha, that might be the reason to be mako. If you're going to do borer right before you eat it, well, that's just tikkun ochel. Right? Remember the case of the fish and the bones. So too, you could argue the same thing here. And that might be the svara why the Chazon Ish and Nun Ches and Tes, Chazon Ish says that bishul is mafkia the malacha of lisha. Which explains that din in the case where you have the cooked dish and you, on Shabbos, you mix it around the refos dish where it was cooked up. So we talked about it in Hilchos Tochein, but what about Hilchos Lush? So the Chazon Ish says, yeah, well, once you cooked something, you don't have to talk about lush anymore. Why not? Why, if you cook the chalent, do you not have to worry about lush when you mix it together on the plate? So perhaps the answer is, because once the chalent was cooked, you're mixing it on the plate, that's just tikkun ochel ba'alma. And this also can explain the svara of the Rashba that we mention in the context of Tochein, that the Rashba himself does mention in lush as well. Even though most of the Achronim don't accept this, Rav Ovadia and the Liv Yaschein does mention it, the Rashba, in the end of that tshuva about Tochein Miyad, mentions the heter of Miyad also for Lisha. We can think about that in the context of the Gemara Kuf Mem of the Chardal. What's another reason to be mako? Oh, because it's right before you're eating it. Asma, since when is it mutter? That's what the other Achronim are not happy about this, but since when are you allowed to do malachas lush? You're allowed to do any malachas just because it's for immediate use. The answer is, it's not because it's miyad that is matarit. It's because that's just called tikkun ochel for the Rashba. That's not really a malacha. Right before you eat it, you mix it around on your plate. So those are the two things we need to think about beforehand. Number one, to make sure to violate lush, you have to create this unified substance. And number two, it has to actually be a malacha. It can't just be tikkun ochel. Yes?
Did the Chazon Ish give a svara why bishul mafkia?
So that's what we're suggesting.
But why is that a universal point? I think off the top of my head, I can't, but I'm sure there's things that are still shy of Hanisha, even though they've been cooked.
Right, but in this case, that's why I gave the example, where you have a cholent where the whole thing was cooked, even though you have potatoes and you have sauce, or you have liquid, that mixture is no longer subject to lisha internally because it's already been cooked. It's just tikkun ochel now. So now let's talk. We're going to talk lemaisa, because otherwise it's going to take us forever. Otherwise, we got to get down the principles, and then we can talk afterwards about some of the practicals. But let's talk about what we actually might be making on Shabbos: tuna salad, egg salad, charosis, oatmeal, ink. I don't know why anybody would be making ink on Shabbos, but let's say you were making ink. So we mentioned before that there are two kinds of substances. There are thick substances. I'm sorry, we mentioned there are barkeeble. Sorry about that. I'm going to try to keep everything straight here. There are barkeeble substances where you create this totally integrated new mixture. And then there are lab barkeebles where it doesn't really come together to make an integrated dough paste type of thing. So within that category of barkeeble, of dough, you could talk about two different kinds. When you go to a bakery, there are two different doughs that bakeries use to make cakes and cookies. There are thick doughs, and then there are thin batters. How do you distinguish between a thick dough and a thin batter? So Chasson Ish says, it depends whether it pours or not. So for this purpose, mayonnaise is thick. It doesn't pour, it globs. As opposed to most ketchups that you'll find, they pour. So that would be considered thin. Generally speaking, the what? That's his Hagdara. It's there in Nunches. So generally speaking, the majority of the Achronim assume that when you're dealing with...
He writes about mayo and ketchup?
That's my application.
No, yeah.
So if you're dealing about a Belila Ava, so of course, back in the Yerushalmi, the Lisha there was talking about a Belila Ava actual dough, and we'll assume the same thing in the case of the paste. That's going to be Daraisa. Most think that any case of Lila Raka is only a Dinder Rabbanan. Not everybody, but we'll go with the consensus. So let's say you're talking about a barkeeble, let's say flour and water, and you're making a thick mixture. What are the two stages that you have to undergo to make that dough? The first is putting the water in, and the second one is the mixing. So we saw in the Gemara, Kufnin Hay, and also in Yudches, that there's Machlokas, Rebbe and the Rabbanan. Rebbe's Machayvu, B'shas Nesinas Mayim, and Rebbe Yosef, Rebbe Yehuda is not. So the simple understanding is that, let's say at the first stage, in a thick mixture, when it comes to the Nesinas Mayim, Rebbe is Machayvu Chatas, but Rebbe Yosef, Rebbe Yehuda, Achronim point out, still say that's an Issa Rabbanan. What about the mixing itself? So the Egletal says that Rebbe says that you're chayev. And the Bir Halacha says the same thing. Rebbe does not mean to say that you're only chayev on the Nesinas Mayim. Rebbe means to say it's a process. And therefore, in this process, you're chayev at the first stage and at the second stage.
Meaning, hey, talking according to Rebbe, someone poured the water on Shabbos. And
exactly.
On Shabbos, you're going to be fine.
Right. Or somebody poured the water, they poured the water with a, I think we lost Rabbi Kraft there.
Oh.
My phone acting up. You pour the water with a wrong kavona, misasek type of thing. That's what he talks about there in Eglei Tal in the beginning of Lisha. As opposed to saying that the whole thing is being done completely just when you do the Nesinas Mayim and try to get Rabbi Kraft back. What's that?
Have they read the Hardel case?
What's the problem?
I'm going to mix it on Shabbos.
You're doing a Shinoi.
That's the case. Meaning in this scenario...
I haven't gotten to the Shinoi yet. I'm just...
Okay, yeah.
Okay. So that's in the case of a a thick mixture. And according to Rabbi Yosef and Rabbi Yehuda, you're going to be chayav once you actually do the mixing. The question is, what about the following case? Can you ever get away, is it ever possible to make a bar gibul on Shabbos? What would you say? Right, according to Rabbi Yosef and Rabbi Yehuda, who only asks it at the time of mixing, maybe, is it possible to say that if you do a shinoi at the time of mixing, it could be mutter? Well, we do know of shinois that we're going to talk about in a minute that happen at the time of mixing. Right? We'll talk about them. Either al-yad al-yad, or shesiv erev, or kli l'kli. So can you get away with one of those kinds of shinois in a case of a bar gibul? Meaning, can you take, according to Rabbi Yosef and Rabbi Yehuda, you need it for your animals, or you need it for a child, can you take water, throw it into flour, and mix it around for your animal by doing a shinui? So this is a machlokas, Prima Gadam points out, between Tosfos and the Rambam. And it goes back to how they understand the story of a lav bar gibul in the first place, which Rabbi Kraft mentioned last week. What's the reason why the Mishnah says in Kufnun Hay that you're allowed to be Megabal Morson with a Shinoi? Why? So, according to the Rambam, it's because Morson is a Lav Bar Gibel, so it's only going to be a Durabanan, and a Durabanan with a Shinoi is Mutter for your animal. Tosfos says no, even though that's not your standard Bar Gibel, but it's a quasi Bar Gibel. The reason why it's mutter is because it's a huge shinoi, and for your behema will be mater, this gibel doraisa for a shinoi. Well then, according to Tosfos, we should also be makel, in which case? In a bar gibel. Because what's the difference? What's the difference? Both of them are doraisa. Whereas according to the Rambam, the only reason you're makel by morson is because it was only Durabanan. So, in our question, whether or not, could you ever make a mixture, according to Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, could you ever make a mixture of water and flour on Shabbos through a shinui? The Rambam would say no, because you're potentially in Issa Daraisa, but Tosfos will say yes. So just parenthetically, how could it be? How could Tosfos allow you to violate an Issa Daraisa Aide Shinui? Shouldn't shinui be Pater Aval Aser? Who are we going to invoke for this? That's it, the Eglital. Because this shinui is going to create not just a shinui be'echas apol, it's also going to be a shinui be'echas anifal. This is what we mentioned in the Hakadama Shir way, way back. That the Eglital said that kind of a shinui makes it actually heter gomor, and that's the same thing we said about kata de sakina in Tochin. So in the case of bar gibul, Bar Gibel, the Nesinus Maim is going to be Aser Midaraisa according to Rebbe. It's Aser Drabon according to Rebbe Yosef Rebbe Yehuda. But in the case of the animal, the Gibel itself, according to Rebbe Yosef Rebbe Yehuda, is going to be Aser. And according to Rebbe Yosef Rebbe Yehuda, that's going to be also Aser. But if you did a Shinui, according to Tosfos, B'makom the animal, it's going to be Mutter, just like the Morson. As opposed to the Rambam, Rambam will say, no, you can't do it because it's a bar gibul. So far for bar gibul. So far so good? Great. So let's talk about lav bar gibul. So the first case of lav bar gibul that I want to put away to the side is the extreme lav bar gibul, things that will never make a real dough or paste. And Tosfos says, that's the Gemara Daf Yud Ches, talking about afer. Or, the truth is, the Rambam gives you another case based on the Gemara in Tzvachim about the Rambam's case. Let me get it for you. This is the Rambam's case in Ches Tezayin.
What?
Ches Tezayin. Shabbos Ches Tezayin, Zera shumshmin o zera pishnan kiyutzme mamayim chayv mishum losh. Vibneshim misarvim nitlin zebeze. The Rambam says you have something which its whole mahus doesn't ever lend itself to coming together, and therefore the way that it sticks together, that itself is a new concept of lush. So that the Rambam says is chayev. The Rambam does not say that about Afer, but essentially Tosfos says, in a certain sense, that's the same logic for Afer. Tosfos on Yud Ches says, what happens if when you make Afer with water? The case, parallel case in Beitz about Kitma. Tosfos says, since that mixture of ash and water never is going to form a thick dough or a paste, so the only chiyuv for that is the nesinas mayim, even according to Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda is mode in that case that you're chayav b'shas nesinas mayim. The Rambam disagrees. The Rambam says that you're never going to be chayav in Afer. The Rambam says it about Zera Pishton, but Tosfos, it's a kind of a similar concept that in certain cases the only way to be chayav is in this new parallel track. So that's like the most extreme lav bar gibel. So Tosfos says in that case, even Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda says that you're going to be chayav on the nesinas mayim alone. What about it? Kitma shari, you'll say like Rashi. Kitma shari, great. Okay. So now let's talk about the standard lav bar gibel case, which is the standard stuff that we talk about. Oatmeal, it's similar to kemach and morson. And tuna salad and egg salad. So let's chart it out here on our chart.
Just to be clear on what we just said,
yes.
According to Tosfos, Afer and according to the Rambam, Zera Pishton are both chayiv from the Nesina. Because
yes.
It's a lav bar gibel.
Well, the Rambam doesn't say chayiv mishas Nesina. The Rambam says the chiyuv is, with the lashon again, they're nitlin. You know, he says you're chayiv when you put them in water. Mneshimas arvin v'nitlin zebazeh. So it sounds very similar. I'm not sure if they exactly agree, but they're similar in the same concept, that there's this new idea. But let's talk about the standard case of the lav bar gibel, at least for us, the lav bar gibel, the Gemara of Morson and Kali. So here we are on our chart. We have the Kemach Kali and Morson. Now these two, Kemach Kali and Morson, they may be the same, but they may be different, right? The Rambam seems to distinguish between them, but if you look, the Chazon Ish, he points out that the other Rishonim seem to compare them, even though he quotes a Ramban, the Bir Halacha also quotes this Ramban, who says that maybe they're not the same, and maybe the heter of Ma'at Ma'at won't work for Morson, it only works for Kali. But let's assume for the moment that these are all the same. Kemach Kali and Morson are the same. So we have these two cases, and you have two opinions. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, and you have Rabbi. Can everybody see the chart? See the chart? Great. And within these two categories, within these two shitos, you have two potential cases. You have Ava and Raka. And each of these cases can be looked at through three different kinds of shinois. So you have the lav bar gibel, which is what we're discussing. And then on the side, in terms of the shinois, so you have shinoi number one. What's that? Al yad, which the Rif translated and the Rambam translated as ma'at ma'at. Let's talk about that first. Shinoi number one is ma'at ma'at. So what is ma'at ma'at? So the Bir Halacha understands that ma'at ma'at means instead of having 5 pounds of flour and water, you take a few ounces of flour and water and you mix them together. And then you take flour and water and mix them together. And you take flour and water and mix them together. That's one way of looking at ma'at ma'at. The Chazon Ish actually presents initially in the beginning of Nun Ches a different way of looking at it. He says, imagine you took a giant bowl with all the flour and all the water and put it in together. And then, to mix it, you took out little pieces. The reason why that's such a good shinoi is because the proportion of water to flour is going to be off. They're not going to be consistent throughout the little batches. And that's why it's a big shinoi. But the Chazon Ish concludes that it could be even the Bir Halacha's way of looking at it, because the Bir Halacha's way of looking at it, the Bir Halacha runs into the problem of, well, what about just a pachas mikashir? So the answer is you have to say, no, this is not just a pachas mikashir, this is lav kedarko b'chalal. Nobody mixes a few ounces of flour and a few ounces of water, and that's going to be your ma'ad ma'ad. But either way, that's going to be the context of the shinoi. That's the al-yad al-yad that the Gemara mentions in the context of kemach kali. So what does this allow in the case of kemach kali? So according to Rebbe, does ma'at ma'at help you?
No.
Why not?
I think it cares about nesinas mayim.
Right, because nesinas mayim is your problem right over there. So it's not going to allow ava immediately. And is that going to allow a Belila Raka? No, because you already got into trouble b'shas nesinas hamayim. What about Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda? So Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda, he said in the Gemara that even, it sounds like according to Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda, even in the case of Ava, this shinui of ma'at ma'at makes it mutter. In the case of Ava, you can put a check. And in the case of Raka, it's of course mutter. And if you look in the Sharat Zion, in Sif Katan Yud Gimel, he quotes a Yesh Omrim who say that in a case where you're doing ma'at ma'at a little bit at a time, then you're even allowed to do harbe. In the Mishnah Berurah, he sounds like he's going to be machmir, but in the Sharatzin, he quotes a Yesh Omrim. Why? Because since it's a Belila Raka.
What does it mean if you're doing ma'at ma'at?
Can you do a large quantity of it?
Oh, sorry. Okay.
Right? Can you do ma'at ma'at successively to create a large quantity? So the Yesh Omrim of the Sharatzin says, yeah, because you have a Belila Raka, there's no problem of Nesinas Mayim, and you're doing a ma'at ma'at. That's number one. Right? Because there's no problem of Nesinas Mayim in this case, because it's a law bar gibel. The Rambam said you're never going to get to an isidar rice. Yes?
I'm
saying at the moment, let's assume that Kemach Kali and Morsan are the same. Not like the Rambam. Let's assume that they're the same. The second answer that the Gemara introduced to us was putting the ingredients. No sin is a chomis, v'achach shtisa. So, Seder, we'll call it here, Seder Hamar Kivim. The difference is in the order of the ingredients. So in this case, the shinui is happening at the initial stage when you're creating the mixture, when you're doing the nesinas mayim. What did the Gemara assume? The Gemara actually assumed that first you put in the water and then you put in the flour, or in this case the kali or the shtisa. I think the common practice is the opposite, that first you put in the flour, the solid, and then you put in the liquid. But the shinoi is going to be the opposite. So the Mishnah Berurah actually quotes in the Taz, well, what happens if you don't know which one? So then you're stuck, you're totally hands off. But then he quotes, the Mishnah Berurah does quote from the Chalk Yaakov, in the Mishnah Berurah's Nun Zayin, who says, you know that shinoi of the markivim, if you're not sure which one, even though today I think putting the liquid in first would be the shinoi, if you're not sure, just follow what it says in the Gemara. Okay, but that is your shinoi. But if that shinoi is happening, b'shas nesina samayim, so what is that going to do? That will help you, the Gemara said, haba ava haba raka, at least according to Rabbi Bishavin, that in a case of Raka, that shinoi alone will help. Gemara said, in a case of Raka, it's enough. The Gemara did not say, according to Rabbi, it's good in the case of Ava. Why not? Why should that heter not be good enough in the case of Ava? Probably because Rav Moshe points out in the Tshuva, that's not such a great shinoi. At the end of the day, does it make such a big difference if you put the liquid in first and then you put the flour, or the flour and then the liquid? It's not such a great shinui. So Rebbe says that shinui will only help you, the Seder Amar Kivim will only help you in the case of the Raka, not in the Ava.
What is the problem of the water with the combination of the water and the Isa in the Raka? No problem to have it? Said it is okay, but if I make the changes of the materials, there's a problem of the mixing.
Not understanding.
I need to mix the liquid and the...
Yeah, so according to Rebbe, what about the mixing? The answer is because it's a Belila Raka, it's only a Darabonin. You're never going to come to Elisha Doraisa. So at the time of the Gibul, you're being Megabal of Belila Raka. It's a lot of our Gibul. It's not because it's a lot of Bar Gibul, it's because it's Raka. So what about, what would Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda say about this? So it's not clear in the Rishonim. There are two different opinions if you look in the Magid Mishnah on that Rambam. The Ramban assumes that this shinui of changing the order does not work for a thick mixture according to Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda. Because since you're dealing with a thick mixture, it's more chamor, even though Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda will say it's a lab bar gibel, it's never going to come to a daraisa, nonetheless, Ramban writes in the Chidushim, that's not so good, it's not a strong enough shinoi, even though it's not going to ever come to a daraisa, a blila of it doesn't work, even though the Magid Mishnah quotes some Rishonim to say that it's mutter. It's never going to come to a daraisa, it's only going to be nisa drabanan. However, Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda will for sure agree that for a belila raka, that will be enough. However, there are some Rishonim who are machmir here. I'm going to put a little yesh machmirim. And then here it's going to be a yesh mekilim. Yesh machmirim here to also require a shinoi in the mixing. Even though it's a lav bar gibel, and even though you did the shinoi in the putting of the ingredients, since according to Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, the actual act of Lisha is in the mixing, so you should also do a shinoi in the mixing.
If he only cares, if the Shas Chiyav, if the Shas Gibul is the Chiyav, then that's where the shinoi should be. If I buy my groceries strangely, it doesn't mean I can cook them in the mix, right, and not down from the rice.
So let's. Yeah, what? In Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda, the Yesh Mekilim was the Magid Mishnah in the name of some of the Rishonim. According to Tosfos, no, because this is treated like a Bar Gibel for Tosfos. So let's talk about the third Shinoi. The third Shinoi was either Shesi Ve'erev or Mikli Lekli. And Rav Moshe points out in the Tshuva, that's the best shinoi. Why? Because when you mix something only shesi ve'erev, it doesn't really get mixed very well. Rav Moshe points out, the Shoal said, oh, it sounds like from the Chazanish you're only allowed to do it once, and you have to do it once, and then you have to take the spoon out. You do shesi and pull it out, erev, pull it out. So Rav Moshe says, no, as long as you're careful that you can keep the spoon in without making a stirring circular motion, you can keep going, and you could do it multiple times. It's not just one and one. You could make your tuna fish. You stick it in once this way, then the other way. Back, forth. As long as when you move from one back to the fourth, you're not making a circular motion. So that's your shesi ve'erev. And the kli l'kli would be in it, for example, there's also discussion, one kli or two kelim, you put your mayonnaise and your spices and your sliced thin cabbage in a plastic bag, in a Ziploc, and you just shake it all around. Yes.
So two things. First of all, I guess we'll say second thing first. Rabbi Meir was discussing if that's the derech in which one mixes salad.
So I'm not sure that it's a function of derech, because it sounds like it doesn't get mixed up as well. And the truth is it doesn't. When you mix something in a plastic bag, it doesn't get mixed up as well, because sometimes you'll get those clumps of mayonnaise in the middle, as opposed to when you take a whisk. Imagine if you had a whisk or a really good mixing tool, it mixes it much more evenly.
Like if you have a salad dressing, that might be more efficient or better.
Yeah, salad dressing, you shake it up in a bag, it spreads it out more. If you have tuna and mayo,
yes,
aren't we saying mayo is a salad? Like it's not going to move?
What do you mean it's not going to move?
And if you have, does leisha apply when you have two salads?
No, so leisha doesn't apply when you have two salads, because they're not bound together. They don't bind to each other.
Right.
But
we're saying mayo is going to be considered a kind of a liquid vis-a-vis the... Meaning it's all relative. You're
it doesn't bind together. Remember, when you have... If you just have, let's say, a mixture, you put together craisins and almonds in a bowl and you mix them together. There's nothing binding them. If the definition of lisha is making one integrated thing, then there's no lisha there, of course. But in the case of mayonnaise, because it is a binding agent, so that's going to be the cause of this salad sticking together. So it's going to be, it's a thick item, but it's viscous, but it's still considered part of the mixture. So what's the halakha in this case? What's that?
Shouldn't the mayonnaise be more like powder in the water? My tuna is really fundamentally the same.
Why? It doesn't dissolve. It's still there. You see it. It's present.
So somewhere between dissolution and sticking things on honey.
Exactly. That's why
it's not like a real mixture.
I don't agree with you. My tuna fish is absolutely a mixture. Hmm? It's a mixture.
I would agree. This kind
of
tuna is really
so what's the din in this case? So if you're using shesi ve'erev, we're going mekli kli. So here again, Rebbe's going to say no go because you had a problem b'shas nesina samayim. But according to Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, you're going to for sure say it's okay in Raka, and it's even okay in Ava, because it's the most fundamental shin. Okay, so that's our chart. So the question is, how do we paskin? So Shulchan Aruch paskins like what seem to be Rov Rishonim, who paskin like Rabbi Yosef Rebuda, like the Rambam, and others. And therefore, if you use either Ma'at, which might not be the best shinui, or certainly if you use shesi ve'erev and mikli l'kli, it's enough with that shinui to get away with even making a belila ava. However, the Mishnah Berurah in Sifkat and Samaches says, well, you know, it's also a good idea to make a shinui in the nesinas markivim. So the Mishnah Berurah says, okay, so even according to Rabbi Yosef Yehuda, you should make that shinui. Not sure.
Sorry, can you repeat that?
In this category, according to Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, either here or here, it's mutar ayde ava. But he adds that it's tov lahachmer to also do a shinui in the order of the ingredients. I'm not sure why that's so compelling, because if you're passing Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, putting the order of the ingredients is not consequential. It must be that also adds to the shinui in terms of the mixing to some degree.
That's the
me'ikar hadin psak, according to the Shulchan Aruch, that you pass on like Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, and it's mutter to create a belila ava with a lav bar gibel through the shinui of shesi ve'erev and mikli l'kli, and also ma'at ma'at. And that's why the Gemara says in Kuf Mem that chardol, you can use this strange mixing mechanism on Shabbos, even though you didn't put in any liquid on Erev Shabbos. You can put the liquid on Shabbos and mix it because it's a lav bar gibel, it's Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, and it's mutter al yedei shinui. However, the Yesh Omer in the Shulchan Aruch, and this seems to be the Pashas of the Ramah, are machmir for the Balatruma, Rabbarach Balatruma, and other opinions that we shown him. So Mishnah Berurah says in Shin Chav Dalet, Sifkat and Yod Aleph, he says Yesh Lachmir for this Yesh Omrim, and which is what it sounds like is the Sheet of the Ramah.
Where is it in the
that's in Mishnah Berurah in Shin Chav Dalet, Sifkat and Yod Aleph. So therefore, the Achronim, the Poskim, are concerned not to rely on Rabbi Yosef and Rabbi Yehuda. Rather, they're going to be machmer for Shitas Rebbe. Well, if you go back to our chart, within Shitas Rebbe, there's never a permissibility to create a Belila Ava on Shabbos. So nonetheless, even though Lechatchila we're going to be machmer for Shitas Rebbe, we can b'dieved, in certain cases, be mekel. So one case, one example, would be Maisa Shabbos. If you had somebody who fulfilled actually all the Tanoim, didn't do any Shinois, and really did Lisha on Shabbos, so that Maisa Shabbos would be Aser. But if he did it through one of these Shinois, so even though Lechatchila we should be Machmer for the Shita of Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, but yeah, we can be Mekel. Similarly, the Shemir Shabbos Kelchasa in Perek Ches Halacha Yud Aleph points out, for a child, a Tinok, so generally speaking, a Tinok has the status of a Monday, has the status of a cholish embo sakana. So for the purpose of this tinok, it's going to be mutter to do the lisha, even of a belila ava, as long as you used, according to like Rabbi Yosef Yehuda, as long as you used the shinoi of shesi ve'erev or mikli lekli, or ma'ad ma'ad. Similarly, if you look in the Shaar Tzion, here in Sifkat and Pei Dalid, he also points out that this is something we could rely on in a case where you couldn't do it in Efshar Mibod Yom. Now, how you apply Efshar Mibod Yom is a good question, but that also might depend on the person making the salad. You're talking about egg salad and tuna salad. Some people, they absolutely cannot stand the tuna fish at Shalashuddas because it was made yesterday. But if they made the Shalashuddas tuna fish right before Shalashuddas, they would eat it. So maybe, you know, you have to ask your, you know, the person who's making your tuna fish, who's passing on your tuna fish. But if you're one of those people who's a super mafunuk when it comes to tuna fish that's, you know, not a ben yomo, so then maybe this Shaar Tzion would be on what you can rely to make the tuna fish.
After the
altar
that we said before.
Exactly. So now it brings you to the last marmokum.
And isn't tuna cooked?
Right, but you're mixing it with another item. It's not the same. Yeah, when the whole thing is pre-cooked. So let's look back at that, and this last point, to look back at that Tzitz Eliezer. The Tzitz Eliezer, he wants in that, in Chelek Yudalef, he wants the matzdik, the minug of Klal Yisrael, that people make tuna fish. So he starts to pile it on. He says, well, Reb Shlomo Kluger, we quoted, says, there's no gedulei karka problem, so a tuna fish doesn't have gedulei karka, and you can argue that eggs are not gedulei karka because they're not the same thing as the chicken. And then, in the Orach HaShabbos, here in Ha'ara Ayin Zayin, in Perek Shishi, Ha'ara Ayin Zayin, he quotes, he says, you know, there are even people who make egg salad, iron tzibbalis, without a shinoi at all. So how'd they make that without a shinoi at all? So he starts pulling out all the svaras. First of all, he quotes the Maharshal, who says that it doesn't really become a gush echa, there's no problem of lisha. So when you make tuna fish, is that really one integrated substance? Or you could say, no, it's a lot of pieces of tuna that are stuck together with mayonnaise. Number two, the svar of the Bir Halacha, that it's only tikkun ochel ba'alma. Lamais, you can eat the eggs without the oil, and you can eat the tuna fish without it. So maybe you call it just tikkun ochel ba'alma. And then you can add, perhaps he doesn't mention this, you can add that svara from the Liv Yaschein, the Tshuvas HaRashba, that it's miyad. So all these things together, that's why you'll find in a lot of places. So lechatchila, the Shmir Shabbos says you should make all of your lishas before Shabbos. You should make the baby cereal before Shabbos. And let's say you can't make it before Shabbos, so the baby cereal, a lot of times you can make a blila raka. And the Chazon Ish says, as long as it pours, so then that's blila raka, it's mutter. But let's say you can't make it into a blila raka. And you can't make it before Shabbos for whatever reason. So make her a din, as long as you use one of these shinois, so the Shulchan Aruch paskin before the Yeshomim. The Iker Adin Shulchan Aruch is that we pass like Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, that in the case of a lav bar gibel, it would be mutter. So, you know, how machmir are you going to be? So Moshe says, based on Mishnah Berurah, on Shabbos, on Erev Pesach, you shouldn't make your charoses, because that's got to be a belila ava, and it doesn't want to be meko. Obviously, it's not adequately a tzorech. I guess some, you know, the tzorech lekiyuv, the tzorech lesmuche, so it's got to be a belila ava. But some maybe would argue, even though Ramosha is not meko, Ramosha is machmir, like the Shaar Tzion, like the Mishnah Berurah, but some might argue, if it's a big tzorech, that you need to have your charoses, and it couldn't have been done beforehand for whatever reason, so yesh amilismoch perhaps to say that if you use the shinoi of the shesveir or mikli lakli, and even ma'at, it will be mutter to make it, even if it was a belila ava.